This is Upstate's HealthLink on air, Linda Cohen along with you. Clinical laboratory science professionals, they're also called medical laboratory technicians or technologists, are highly skilled scientists who discover the presence or absence of disease, and they provide data that helps physicians determine the best treatment for a patient. But what is it like to choose this as a career path? Well, here with some answers are Janine Wierczynski-Yates and David Latour. They're both medical technologists at Upstate Medical University, and they've been kind enough to come in today to talk with us. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So, David, let me start with you. Help us understand what does it mean to be a clinical laboratory professional?
Basically, being a med tech, actually we handle all parts, internal parts of a patient's samples, from blood to urine to actually things from surgery. We test them. We're very fortunate that we actually offer 70% of all diagnoses within a patient coming into an institution like this.
So that's a pretty hefty responsibility, actually.
Yeah, you know, one thing is we take care of all patients within the hospital and also in an ambulatory setting. So it is. It's a lot of samples coming in, and it's a lot of work for these technologists to do.
Yeah, a lot of data, Janine.
Well, plus we get a lot of clinics. In the afternoon, all the clinic work comes over, and there's a lot to do, and we're very busy.
But. So you guys basically, in this type of role, are responsible, as I said in the introduction, for really helping the physicians make these diagnoses. I mean,
oh, yes.
You are
mm-hmm.
looking at the blood, the urine, the different biopsies and whatever, and making the calls.
Correct.
Well, we give the results out, but we don't diagnose.
No.
Right,
there's a distinction.
We need to make that very clear.
Yeah.
But yes, it's very exciting, really. And when we find something that we don't usually find, and it's not good for the patient, but it's terrible to say, but it's kind of fun to find something like that because you don't see it very often. And, like a case of malaria. When you see a case of malaria, you go, oh, there it is. Because you see so many that are negative.
That are routine.
Yes, negative.
Yeah. So help us understand, David, many of us, I think, as adults, will have our blood drawn, sometimes more than once a year, depending on the situation. And, we get all these the blood goes into all these different colored tubes and everything. What actually happens to all of these samples? Give us a feeling for what a typical day is like for you.
Well, basically, talking about the different colored tubes, there are different additives in different tubes because there are different requirements for each test. If you were having a chemistry test, it would be a gold top tube, which would be strictly serum. It's blood that's allowed to clot and spun. And we test the serum portion of that.
The liquid portion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then there's whole blood, which if you're getting a complete blood count, which is your whites, your reds, that would be a lavender top tube, which would have a EDTA preservative in there, which allows the blood not to clot, so that the analyzer can aspirate that and then do its readings.
So basically, those different tubes reflect the different needs that you're looking at.
Every test basically has a recipe. So for each recipe, you need different types of tubes and different formulas. So, but that's what those tubes are for.
So give me a feeling, Janine. What's an average day like for you, a typical day?
I'm on the evening shift, and so when
I come, typical evening like?
Well, when I come in, we basically run controls on our instruments, make sure they're working well, and we start out our day. We have a very good team, good teamwork, and we are generalists on the evening staff. So we rotate through different labs, and different labs have different things going on in them. But basically, we will make sure our instruments are working well and get ready to go, and the tubes come in. And
you run your tests. And each test has a protocol, I would think, associated with
it. Yes. And we have delta failure checks. We have a lot of checks in place to make sure that our results that we're giving out are accurate.
Yeah.
Because that's very important.
Now, if you have to rotate through several different laboratories, that mm-hmm. means your skill set must be very wide.
Yes.
And would think that would have taken you a long time to acquire.
30 years.
All right.
Yeah.
33.
Yeah. 33 for you. So this is quite a long career path.
Oh, yes. When we get a new tech in, they're good. They're trained very well. But it takes you a while to get really good at what you do. So, we give them that.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm here with laboratory technicians Janine Rachinsky-Yates and David Latour. We're talking about what it's like to work in a medical laboratory. So, David, what would you say the most challenging part of this kind of a career is or has been?
Challenging part is the changing technology. When I started in the field, we basically offered very limited amount of stat testing. And as
Meaning
what is truly offered on an evening or night shift.
Quick testing with quick turnaround results.
Quick testing. In the late 80s, when I was first starting out, we did a lot of specialized testing, thyroid testing, and they were scheduled during different days. But now you can get an array from the analyzer. Technology has advanced dramatically since then. So our ability to quick test or stat test a lot of different chemistries and samples and different things has expanded dramatically.
But in addition, it would seem that your skill set, as I mentioned with Janine, must have to continually change. In other words, it's not just you had your training at one point and then you're kind of done, but with technology, with the growth of technology, you're continually being challenged. Am I correct?
Our instrumentation has changed too. So it has tried to keep up with our volume that's coming in, and that really has helped our instrumentation.
And that challenge to us in this field is constant learning. I feel very fortunate that every day I learn something. Every day we have to keep continuing to learn so that we can advance with this technology. And I think that's also a gratifying part of our field is that continual process of learning.
That was a perfect segue because that was my next question. Perfect. So that continual learning while being challenging is also gratifying for both of you.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's going to keep us young because we constantly have to think on our feet. We're not only looking at names and dates and medical records, we're putting them on the analyzers. We're keeping track within the system, delta, criticals, and making sure if they are critical value that they get to the provider in a quick fashion.
What is delta?
It's a percentage of change. People, as you test them, say you get a potassium of 4.5. The next time you test them again, they should be around that area. If they're not, if they're 5.5, that's a delta failure check. So it's out of the percentage of confidence. So you have to rerun that to make sure it wasn't an instrument failure and that it actually is the patient that is spiking.
Very good. So you really have to be very, very meticulous and accurate and careful.
Well, we know that there's a patient attached to this sample. We're very aware of that, and we always talk about this, you know, because it's easy to be in the lab, be separate, not see the patient, and just do your work. But when you know in your mind that what you're putting out is results directly affect that patient.
Person's life.
We constantly remind ourselves that this could be your brother, sister, mother, grandmother.
Yes, excellent.
Yeah, and you just don't want to get numb to the fact that it's a tube of blood, but it's an actual person that we're handling every time.
I think that's outstanding. Tell me, give us a feeling, each one, I'm going to ask each one of you, how did you get to this job? What motivated you? What were your thoughts?
I was good in science. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I led into the field through community college for a two-year degree, and then went on from there. Went back to my hometown of Saranac Lake and was very fortunate to have a great basic training in a 100-bed hospital. In those days, we used to have to draw the patient and run down to the laboratory and test the blood. So I was able to see and establish relationship with providers, so it allowed me to learn from A to Z. looking at the patient, drawing the blood, getting the results, and making sure. And of course, in those days, we didn't have computers. We wrote mm-hmm. everything down onto a slip, and it was charted. And basically, we got a great relationship with the staff, and were able to communicate anything that was critical.
So basically, the reason you chose this field, though, was more just that you were good in science, and it was kind of happenstance? Or were there other thoughts that went into why you wanted to do this?
I had other thoughts. I loved Quincy. Do you remember Quincy?
No, help me with that.
Oh, he was a...
He was a medical examiner.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And
oh, yes, I do.
He used to figure out these difficult cases
from
the lab results.
Oh,
and
yes.
I thought, I want to do that. I want to be a detective like Quincy. So it's kind of a laboratory detective, really.
He was the CSI of the 80s.
Yes, I remember now.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah. So, I guess I wasn't watching too much TV. I had little kids at the time. But, okay, yeah. So then you were motivated, really, by a curiosity.
Oh, yes.
And that does that continue? New today? I mean, as the new tests and new technologies come out?
Yes, I love it. When we went to school, we didn't learn PCR. PCR was
what is PCR?
Polymer
chain reaction.
And what does that mean?
It's basically you take a little teeny bit of a viral or a bacterial particle, and it's very, very small, and you can't. There's not enough to test it, so you duplicate it, replicate it, replicate it, make it big enough to test.
Wow!
So we now have this technology, and I love this instrument that we have in MicroB for the past, I think, about a year now. It's called the BioFire, and it does respiratory panels. And in the past, a practitioner, say you get a baby down in the PEDS-ER, and you don't know if it has RSV, you don't know if it needs to be quarantined.
That's a certain virus, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so you have to make this educated guess, pretty much, in the past. Now this respiratory panel, well, it takes about over an hour, a little bit over an hour, and you can get an actual result. This baby has RSV, it has flu, it has pertussis.
Amazing.
And you can have an educated, not just an educated guess, but you have a result. And now you have a protocol of what you can do with this baby.
An actual result to help the provider.
Yes.
Well, this is what we were talking about. You really are kind of scientists providing the underpinnings for good medical care.
Yes.
Correct.
And it sounds to me like with an added technology, your work is detective. You just have you have a better assistant in that process of being a detective.
Correct.
Very briefly, in a little bit of time we have left, how long does it take in school?
4 years. You can go and get a 2-year degree and then 4 years.
And basically, would you recommend, Janine, if a kid came up to you who was looking for a career path?
Oh, absolutely.
What would you say to them?
It's exciting. It really is exciting. I mean, you get a sample down in the lab and you do a gram stain, which you take a little bit of that material, put it on a slide, you stain it. You can see bacteria.
And it's
like magic, it's almost.
To be a team member of that is probably one of the most rewarding things.
I agree.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming in. I'm very excited. Maybe I'll go back to school myself. It's very, very exciting. Well, thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I thank you both for being here. My guests have been Janine Wyrchinski-Yates and David Latour, both medical technologists at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.